Shape we were going to be in. By faith, I said, we'll have this service here. So God, I've been hearing of the wonderful prayer meetings you had Friday and Saturday night. Amen. That's wonderful. Been looking forward to that for a long time. Amen. So, no doubt something has happened. Amen. So, we want to thank our brother and sister, Marangelo, over here with Sister Connie St. George's brother and sister-in-law. They've come back among us, and when you see them, make sure you give them the right hand of fellowship. They was out, and they come back in. They're glad to be back in the house of the Lord. Just want to say today is the first day of a new season, and it's being symbolized. This particular service is the first service to be on videotape. Yeah. So the back of your heads is being taped. So I'll be able to look at the tapes and see who's praising and who's not. Thank our brother and sister Marangelo for donating the camera to us and the American System Quasar Recorder Player video. And they donated to us and we didn't have to buy it, so we certainly thank the Lord for that. Purchased the three system Sharp Japanese model, which is PAL, Europe and South Africa, CCAM, France and Russia, and NTSC. But this is the American system for to do the taping through. So it's two different systems to say. So we already purchased that already, which you can see in that. But now we have our own American system, and we can take this camera and it's a portable recorder and take it to Puerto Rico. Yeah. So we also have the first videotapes in Brother LeBron's tent. Yeah. So God orders all of these things his season and his time. Don't do anything out of time. Now I'm not having a tent ministry. Amen. That's Brother Junior's church. Amen. But we thank the Lord. We so we want to thank especially our Brother Norman Lorette. Praise God. Amen. Brother Junior, they've been working the world so long, they're coming back and forth and back and forth. So we have, you know how people are today to get them to do anything, and this fellow Mike, he's a very good engineer. We bought the equipment from him in New York there, but he was supposed to come back Saturday and hook up the camera for us, but he didn't do it. So Brother Norman, they waited a couple of hours, and Brother Norman said, well, I think I can do it. So he hooked it up. Amen. And we want a good service here. So we thank God for my brother Joey, who does everything around here. Service tonight, and I'm just here by the grace of God. My human spirit is tired, that's your mind, and my body is exhausted and tired, and for you to function, your spirit must get some rest. Amen. And I haven't had any in 7 years, maybe longer than that. Amen. And then when your human spirit is not functioning, you're not sharp to read and hear tapes and to function. Amen. So I had to bypass my human spirit and depend on the anointing from my soul. To anoint my human spirit that my human spirit, amen, might make my body move, amen. Amen. And I'm going over it, so I'm very tired and exhausted down the end of the road. And I appreciate these videotapes that God sent to me, a blessing. I'm just going to try to rest a couple of weeks. There's not no rest, really, because I got home papers and tapes and requests from around the world. And I can't even fulfill it, and so there's no rest. And so therefore, I'm just going to try to do the best I can. I have to go to Puerto Rico February 24th through the 28th. So I'm trying to do the best I can, but I appreciate all these little baby things. Forget about it. I mean, how much more do you need? The tapes, everything's here. These little baby things, God wants you to pray on. And then, because I'm not going to see nobody after the service at all, I'm going home. Amen. So Brother Nino's here, and don't go downstairs looking for anybody, because you're not sitting up here and they see the last person, they don't see nobody else. That's it. Some have a habit of standing downstairs by the door, but you ain't going to see no minister stand down there. You have to stay up here, the church room. So hope everything. Well, praise the Lord. Well, let us go to prayer. Father in heaven, how we praise you, how we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. Lord God, this is a new day, a new season, a new time. Almighty God, we pray that you pour out the baptism of the Holy Ghost on our people today. We pray, Father, that you heal the sinner and the afflicted, and give glory to thy holy child, Jesus, by spiritual blood, the hand of heaven on him, with signs, wonders, and miracles. And Father, we pray for anyone today that's within hearing of my voice, or within sight and hearing in the basement. God, hallelujah. Praise God, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, may there be such a power here by the word, and the word of God will baptize every soul, set every person here free. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask for this thing. Amen. Would you open your Bibles, please? Isaiah 59, 19th verse. I don't know what I'm going to do. This, I couldn't take it in Spanish today because it would be too long. I'm trying to get back at 5 o'clock. And if I go to a certain time, I will announce after whether they come in 5 or 5:30 or 6. I want to finish up as soon as I can. I want to pulse this message. So I can't do it in Spanish because I don't know what I'm going to say. So I got to wait for the inspiration. Isaiah 59, 19. And you find the marker at Revelation 10. Revelation 22. New season, new time. You got to post it by the scriptures and the inspiration. Amen. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west. America is going to fear the name of the Lord in the west, in the western part of the world. And his glory from the rising of the sun. When enemies shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against them. Amen. Revelation 10. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. In other words, don't write what is said on the back of the book. Just seal it on the back. Amen. Don't write what's in the word, because it's got to be in the word. Amen. Don't write what's hidden in the word, because it's already there. Amen. But there will come a revelation by a prophet who will reveal what the thunders on the backside hold in the word. So simple. Amen. And seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And then they're going to tell you, well, Brother Coleman, the seven thunders are not written. No, it's not written on the backside. What it is on the inside. You can't add to the inside or nor take away. It's the entire revelation of Jesus Christ. But you need a revelation of the inside. The Presbyterians need a revelation on the inside. Amen. The denomination need a revelation. Amen. Millions of Trinitarian Christians need a revelation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. This is where they got the Holy Ghost. Need a revelation. Amen. Amen. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven, the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Now, I'm going to skip over the seventh verse, because we've been speaking on this seventh verse for 7 years.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Revelation 22, 17, verse 16. 22, 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel, William Branham, to testify unto you the things of the churches. Amen. You believe that?
Amen.
Amen. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright morning star. And he's already laid it out. Amen.
Amen.
And now, we're going to change over the 17th verse. And the Spirit and the bride say, come.
Hallelujah.
New season, new time. Elohim is here.
Amen.
And let him that hear say, come.
Amen.
And let him that is athirst come.
Amen.
And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Well, everybody just come on into the Lord's house.
Amen.
Because it's going to rain.
Amen.
And God is a blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Well, we thank God to be here this morning.
Amen.
Amen. And I'd like to take a time. I have a subject, the call to the resurrection.
Amen.
Amen. Now we appreciate our visitors here, the Reed family over here, and Sister Wright and the family. We're happy to hear from Virginia with us. I believe there's a brother and sister, Sanders, from Georgia, I believe, Wilson Hembry's church. He's been living up back in New York here. They're up in the balcony. You may see them after. I believe our sister Sanders was originally from Long Island and moved south, and then now she's saved with her family, and they're here this morning with us. So we praise the Lord for them to be here. I believe there was a sister Alma here from Trinidad, and I don't know if she's here now, but any other visitor here. And by the way, there's somebody here from Haiti, and I believe her name is Sister Boy, whatever, and she says that little thing come up the other day when we had a church meeting here. They didn't understand. She said she was in Haiti for 8 years in the message, but then she said she's in this church, but she's not in this church, sister. Wherever you are, see me first, and when we give you the right hand of fellowship, then you're in this church.
Amen.
But not until that time. Amen. So each local assembly is sovereign in itself. So this is our own church here. If we never see nobody else in the world, Jesus is here. We have our own problems, our own situations, our own circumstances right here. Because back in the Bible days, they didn't have any cars and airplanes to fly to the other assemblies. So they was in their own place with Jesus Christ. So what I'm preaching here has got nothing to do with Tucson or Jeffersonville or Trinidad or Haiti. So don't report me after I finish today. Because it don't have anything to do with me. Brother Coleman said, because I just feel there's visitors here, but I don't care no more. I got to say what I got to say. So whether you understand or whether you don't understand, I'm going to hold the tape back. So therefore, you ain't going to know what I said when you go out of here. So don't even try to repeat what I said. Amen. So praise the Lord. Hope it's understood. Amen. Don't go down to Trinidad and say, Brother Coleman said, and Haiti and different places, and don't worry, this is what I've been saying all the time. I ain't never changed. So tonight is the Lord's Supper, God willing, and at 5 p.m. we hope to, unless the Lord changes it. And we have the videotape, also, the mighty outpouring of the sound from heaven. Amen. And P.E., when the sound came, it came rushing down, amen. So I want you to see it with your eyes, amen. Well, amen. Now, well, I'll pick that up again. In P.E., December 29th, I was preaching on the Lamb's Book of Life Tuesday morning. And I said, I'll finish up tonight. But I had the threefold mystery of God kind of changed around a little bit since I was here, since October. But I never preached that message because I read a quote from the beginning and the ending of the Gentile dispensation, and it was on time no longer. And I have one more quote to read from page 405 in the seal book, and where he says, time no longer. And in between the seal book quote and the one I was quoting with the fire fell. And it was on the beginning and the ending of the Gentile dispensation. So it's real spiritual, and I'll see how the Lord bring it up. But put it in your mind, amen. And by the way, the Holy Spirit fell on, I was rebuking the people for their attitudes at moment. And that's when it fell, to vindicate. So God don't need you or whatever you're doing, amen. When that season comes around, you can go through 15 years and 20 years of pleading. But when she moves over there, you know, whether you plead or whether you beg, forget it. God is here. On the day of Pentecost, they didn't have to ask somebody to pray. That day is fully come for Gilgamesh. Gilgamesh is in the temple. Amen. So anyway, the Holy Spirit wants to fill up the bride, I believe, between these two quotes. Amen. That's why she poured out. Amen. So now, the quote I was about to read, the quote I read was a powerful quote, the beginning and the ending of the Gentile dispensation, 1955 in the Indiana. And it mentions the thunders, it mentions the angel of the Lord. A little short quote. The mighty exploits, the mystery of God, time no longer, Melchizedek, where were you, Job, predestination, all in one little quote. And however, I Holy Spirit made me block out a part of the quote, and I admitted it. And that part was about receiving the Holy Ghost. I'm reading today, amen. So could it be a sign that time is no longer? Where are we at, church? With the stars lining up and all the planets and all these things. The Gentile dispensation is just about finished. It's time for the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Has an hour arrived. And God wants to seal up his bride just before the end. That hour here, friends? Is that time at hand? Oh, let us pinch ourselves. Let us ask these questions. Now, my brother, Junior LeBron, in his church, I called Wednesday. And he went to San Juan, the docks up there, and he picked up his tent. So he has a tent. Amen. Tent weighs 500 pounds. Amen. So he already put up the cement floor last week, and the tent has arrived, and the government didn't want to give them a permit for electricity. But suddenly, Tuesday, the officials changed their mind and gave them a permit. And he picked up a tent Wednesday. I know Brother Junior, that tent's already up. Amen. All things are ready down in Puerto Rico. Amen. So anyway, speaking about tent and all these things, there are many new people in the church here. They don't know what you're even talking about, tent, see? And all these things here. Anyway, Brother Junior didn't go out to buy a tent now. He was trying to build a church, but it cost too much money at the time, so all he can do was to get a tent and put it up because he couldn't pay two rents at one time. So anyway, it's a tent. Amen. To be a sign that the marvelous altar call is just about finished. Amen. I don't know. Amen. Or is it time for the middle part and the end part of the tent? And so, anyway, in 1975 in Fort Wayne, on July 4, I was preaching on a very vital subject, seven little voices, seven thunders. And everybody had gathered there in the message, and all the ministers just about. And tension was running high. Amen. Everybody was all excited. Does Brother Coleman have the thunders? Does he have the thunders? Amen. They didn't. They wanted the noble. Amen. Praise the Lord. Could he have it? Lord, how could he have it? Amen. So anyway, that was the kind of atmosphere that was there. And it was a gymnasium. It was very hot, and I felt like I was in Daniel's lion's den. Amen. And anyway, I had five messages to preach, and everybody was, all the critics was there, and one row was completely across with ministers. They each had a chair for their books to check me out. How would you like to preach like that? And all I was doing was saying what the prophet said. But I was from Yankland somewhere. Thought maybe I had a Noah's message. I had the books in the course, the same one they had. Amen. Well, you know, it takes a revelation. Amen. So anyway, Sister Laura Kalita, she had a dream around that time, March 22nd to be exact, and her sister B and Sister Ethel over here was in a dream and going out to some place with, I'll skip down here, and I want to get down to the part of it, and it was out in, out somewhere, they knew it was in a meeting somewhere. Anyway, they got to the meeting, it's a long dream, and they got down near the end, and she says, now, when we got outside, again, Sister Ethel said, how about going for something to eat? And while I'm making up our minds as to what to do, we heard a little commotion between a few brothers. They seemed to be from Arizona. Brother Billy Paul seemed to be with them. They seemed to be pretty upset about something. We just kept hearing the word tent. Then the voice got louder, and one said to the other, I can't find a tent. I can't find a tent for tomorrow night, meeting. There are no more left. They're all gone. What are we going to do? And we can't have a meeting without one. Then as the other brother said, well, we got until tomorrow. Maybe you can still find one. Now remember, there's only one day to find a tent. Amen. They kept going on about this. Then one of them said, real loud, as if to have the answer to this problem, why can't we have it right out here in the open? Then some other brother said, yes, maybe the first part of his preaching, that's me, can be out in the open. But you know, when he gets started into that middle and the end of his preaching, that better be covered up with a tent. The people won't stand for it. It's going to cause a lot of trouble. Too much is going to be said. Amen. We can't go along with that. And they was talking about Brother Coleman, though his name was not mentioned. Then a sister turned to me and said, you know, they would like to call this whole meeting off. I said, you mean we have to leave in the end? She said, I'm not sure yet, but the whole issue here is about that tent. Then the brothers broke up and left. And then there was a lot of dancing things going on. Okay, amen. Amen. Seven brothers are okay. Amen. Maybe see this, amen. So now you got the atmosphere for the 75 meetings on the thunders. You don't even know what I was even under. Oh my. And then, so Thursday afternoon, about noontime, I was over, some of you remember, it was in the Days Inn. And there was a field between that and, because the Imperial. And we were staying over in Imperial, and I seen Billy Paul pull up with Perry Green and Brother Douglas Mack Hughes from Arizona. That was Thursday afternoon. And I'm going to preach Friday night. So we had one day to find the tent. And Brother Hunt remembers, Friday morning, they tried to find that tent for 3 hours at breakfast. And they gave me every kind of a question. Well, Brother Joe, you a prophet? No, therefore you got the thunders. I said, I don't have the thunders. We had a wonderful time. There's no way in the world any man is going to make me say something. Don't try to trap the Holy Spirit. He said, I'll give you wisdom and I'll give you a mouth to blow your minds up. So early that morning, a friend told me, oh, Brother Joe, you're going to receive a phone call, and they're going to ask you to breakfast. And, you know, you say yes. I said, sure, because I'll go. And now last night, it was up all night, when you preached Christ in the temple, the Holy Spirit on Thursday night stuck the thunder on there, if you hear the tape. I preached about 6 minutes on the seventh thunder Thursday night, and threw them all. And everybody was waiting for Friday night, and I already preached it. Thursday night. The Holy Spirit don't have to come off the cross with these people. You'll be a prophet. Come off the cross. We'll get you. God don't answer these people's questions. Amen. So then we had a mighty time on that minister's meeting and the breakfast. Well, I was skipping on anyway that night. The Holy Spirit. So I was going to speak about 1 hour and 10 minutes or so, that's all. And then I went in the room at 11 o'clock. So I said, well, you brothers have taken 3 hours to question me about the tent. Am I a prophet and whatever? And then the Holy Spirit dropped right down brotherly kindness. I says, I love you, brothers. I said, will you give me the same opportunity tonight to speak what God laid on my heart concerning the same message that you believe? Well, sure, Brother Joe. Well, fine, thank you. And one brother said to my wife Friday morning, well, Sister Elaine, you are the wife of the preacher that's under the heat. Amen. He smiled. Amen. Well, anyway, those are the things you go through. So you say somebody and shake your hand. This didn't happen to me. It pushed me on the subway. Such trials you have. I wanted an extra piece of chicken. All I got was a wing. You sing a song, I'm going through. You ain't going through nowhere. I'm having a baby. Oh, I better get on. I haven't even started yet. Amen. Praise God. Amen. My, they're going through. Amen. So, anyway, how was it now? Amen. Oh, then the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He added on a half an hour. If you hear the tape, he says, put on God, hit the simplicity. Add those quotes, page 35, 36, 37, 55, 56, 57, 58. John's own disciples didn't know him. It's on the table. He said, I'll judge him. Elijah's already come. So they was all judged that night, 4th of July. Praise God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Then the Holy Spirit says, now, put the tent on the table. And he says, take the open part, the marvelous altar call, because they gave it to you in a dream. And then right in front, right to their faces, they're sitting there. And then I said, oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Every human demon was there. Amen. Trying to converge on you. They tried for 20 years here. Amen. Trying to outwit you. Amen. Hey, where do you come from? The coal mines, or where you come from? You can't outwit the Holy Ghost. I've already been down that road, brother. Don't try, sister. Amen. Before the foundation of the world. Amen. And then he told me to put on the tape what I did, and I put it on. And I said, praise God. We're thankful to be in the open part of this marvelous altar call. I said, but praise God, if we do what that prophet told us to do, we'll meet him in the middle part, the end part. We'll be coming with a tent. We'll stand behind a prophet as he physically screams, behold the Lamb of God. I know what I'm preaching. The 7 months of the praying behind me. Yeah. So hopefully I'll let you hear it yourself. Brother Norman, here's about 3 minutes here. I'll speak about the prophet and come in, and I'll speak about the tent right here. Just about 3 minutes.
Divine.
church say amen?
Amen.
They were sitting and went on and laid it out. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Can you believe it's on the word? Can you find out the word? Amen. As long as it's a word in you, stay with it. See, it's not because you don't have to get it first. So therefore, how can you try to figure it out? As long as I can show you the prophet said it, that's all you're responsible for. Oh, after you see he said it, then still trying to figure it out, then you're going to get in trouble. Amen. Well, anyway, August 11th through the 17th, 1974, the Holy Spirit gave me this here. Ezekiel 3:17, I got it. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word in my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require thine hand. And how can you, why do you get mad at me when I blasted bullheaded women? They were wicked. Why do you get mad at me when I call out sin? Because your blood will be required in my hand. This was my commission to warn the wicked. Don't get mad at me. It's what God told me to do. You do what he told you to do, and I'll meet you in the morning. But don't ever back me into a corner. Tell me what I'm supposed to do. Why I said it the way I said it. I said, praise God, the way he told me to say it. Don't you ever do that again, praise God. Amen. I know what I'm doing. Yet if thou warn the wicked, he turned not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. I'm free of all man's blood in New York City. I warned every creeping thing in New York. I warned the ones that wasn't even here. They didn't even know that they was in sin their own self, and I warned them. Righteous man does turn from his righteousness, and I warn them too. Don't turn from your righteousness and commit iniquity. I'm talking about the righteous now. Blasted their hearts also. And why are you picking on Brother Jones? Because he was in iniquity, that's why. Amen. Now they are stumbling block before him. Otherwise, these people have gifts and so forth. It stumbles them. They think by their gift they can live any kind of a life. God give these ministers gifts in this message, and it's a stumbling block. They think God put them in their field. God ain't with no sin. I don't give you me a prophet. Speak with the word. Live righteous and holy and godly. So elder, minister, deacon, whoever you are, with stumbling blocks of iniquity in front of their faces. Not in New York City. Call every deacon out in New York. Every elder, minister, deacon, woman, praise God. I'll say it for that. Come on. Then who it is? Tell that righteous man. Don't think because he's got a gift he can do any kind of thing in this house. God is God. So I warn the righteous. I warn the wicked, and you are witnesses. Not one righteous man is staying in this church. Amen. I lay a stumbling block before him. He shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning. If I back him because if I be a respecter of my friend, I'm gonna die. And my friend wanna go. To the tribulation period. But I'm going to die. And he's going to tribulation, maybe to hell too. You get it now? Huh? I ain't so mean now, huh? But now you understand, you know why you're seeing and you understand the word of God. He shall die because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness, which he hath done maybe for 20 years, shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thine hand, your mother, your sister, your father, your brother. You got a warning. A warning also with a hand raised up. Who is she, the King of God? She ain't nothing. There's not a man in the world that put a thing on anything in New York City. Verse 21. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man, that the righteous man sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live. What is sin? Unbelief. Because he is warned, also thou hast delivered thy soul. 7 years of direct warning by the seven thunders. That was my commission, August 11th, down in St. Thomas. And this year, skipped around, I was reading there, and the end has come. Verse 24, and then the Spirit entered into me and set me upon my feet, spake with me, and said unto me, go shut thyself within thine house. Stay in New York City. Don't go nowhere to rest. But thou, son of man, behold, they shall put bands upon thee, shall bind thee with them, and thou shalt not go out among them. And I will make thy tongue cleave to the roof of thy mouth. Thou shalt be dumb, don't reprove them, and shall not be to them a reprover. Let them alone, I'll judge them in 40 days. For they are a rebellious house. But when I speak with thee, February 7th, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. He that heareth, let him hear. No more reproving. And he that forbeareth, that don't believe and step back, let them forbear and get back for their rebellious hearts. May God ever bless him to read on the side. Now you ought to understand everything, huh? Well, you heard it. I'm in my own house. Don't go nowhere except you go to Puerto Rico, I send you. And I'm in his presence, you may be seated. I know your minds are being blown. Amen. Being blown out. Amen, Sister Gail. Their minds are being blown out. Amen. She had a dream about me saying that. Amen. Page 12. See, I don't know where I'm going. That's why I can't give you a tape, Brother Reed. I don't know what I'm going to say yet. Amen. Amen. Page 12. In his presence. Oh, it's wonderful to be in his presence. Man, when he sees these things, he's responsible to tell others. I saw when I was just a boy, I spent the whole life at it. I'm only sorry I got one life. Wish I had 10,000. If I had an eternity, I still want to tell people about it because it's the greatest thing I ever found. If you read in Ezekiel 33, chapter Ezekiel, there was a watchman set on a tower, and this watchman was responsible for the entire city. Amen. Now wake yourselves to your spiritual conscience a minute. While I get to this scripture, that watchman had to be a trained man. He had to know what he was doing. For at any distance, as soon as there arose the enemy, he could detect it. And he could tell their march when they walked. He could watch the demon in skin. Said, I'm in the message. I believe the Sundays. But that Watson knew their walk. But some silly women say, why are you picking on them? So mean. You're not the Watchman, sister. It says, watch man, not watch woman. Praise God, amen. Praise God. Now wake yourselves up. I got the scripture here. He could detect, he could tell their march, he could tell their color, he could tell their rank and file. Just as far as the human eye could see, he could see it. And he was higher than the rest of them. Sister Dana, for he was trained to know the enemy. He was trained in 61 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 7, 1, 2, 3, 4. He was trained. Every devil in New York City come in there. He knew their march. He knew their spirits. He knew every Pentecostal devil in the universe. He knew every angel from heaven. He cast those devils out. Nice people. Sweet people. He was trained to know the enemy. And God required the whole city at his hand. Watchmen, watchmen, what on the night? The watchman is the Holy Spirit. That's the way God's soldiers are today. They're trained to the word. When anything comes up that's got a little polish to it, that's got something else, that's not scripture, they warn the congregation. You know, like there's no rapture. They tell the church there is a rapture. But some of those spirits, color to color, get mad. Stop! If you hear, you hear. You forbear, you forbear. Don't say of the light. Hey, you never forget this thing. You'll see what you have. The rapture's in the Bible. That's not God-like. Such as having soup suppers, dances, and everything else to pay off the passes. Those things are wrong. Bunko games, the card parties in churches is wrong. And the real watcher on the wall, who's once been in the presence of God, who heard the 700s, 700 seven voices, seven church ages, he's the watcher when the union go in there. Watching was taken from up into the heavens and heard the voice of God and dropped back down to tell you. How dare you challenge yourself? Talk about Jim Jones. Call Jesus Christ Jim Jones. If he's just supposed to be on the wall, he thinks he's the pastor of somebody up on the wall because he come out of some denominational church. But I'm a minister. I'm supposed to be on the wall. Saying the wall may not be any higher than the rest of the congregation, his wall. But if he's a correct watchman, God raises him plumb up into the spheres that the rest of them never gets to. but he watches the flock. And God requires it of him. A man of God who stands in the presence of God and knows God is God and know that God keeps his word and watch God perform himself and do his duty and keep his word. And no matter how many organizations, denominations, try to tear it down, you can't do it, Satan. Except the Lord. Praise God. Do a hand and labor in vain. God planted this house. God built this house. God trained the watchman. How many denominations try to tear it down? He knows the rank and file of the enemy. He knows a bullhead when he sees one. He'll blast that bullhead to hell. He knows her rank and file. She's been in every church, taught every church, forced her husband, forced her sons. He'll blast her hand. He's not mean. He knows a bullhead. And he knows what to tell the congregation, the real watchman. He knows exactly how to tell them, the way God tells him to tell them, whether it's hard, mean, and he knows how to do it. Because he ain't playing with nobody. The deacons may play with you, the elders may play with you, but this pastor ain't playing. And, oh my, it's a time for that faith to go in there. You may be seated, all in here now. Question and answer on the Holy Ghost, page 19, paragraph 77. But come face to face with it. Face it now. And they can face the Lutherans and Methodists and Pentecostals. And face the Pentecostals can face the Methodists. I can face the Pentecostal with it. Exactly right. Why is it? We're walking in the light as he's in the light. And we move up the king's highway. And farther it comes, more grace is given. More power is given. More supernatural is given. Where are we at this morning? Supernatural elevation. We're walking up the king's highway. Amen. And there we are. This is the hour to where the Holy Spirit has come down in the form of a light, like he was in the beginning, a pillar of fire, and has manifested himself doing the very same things he did when he was here on earth. And Jesus said, how do you know whether they're right or not? By their fruits you shall know them. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Amen. These signs shall follow them that believe. Now, my Pentecostal brother, I'm one of you. I got the Holy Ghost. I have spoken tongues, but I didn't get it upon receiving the Holy Ghost. Amen. I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I spoke in tongues, prophesied, had gifts of knowledge, wisdom, interpretation, everything else happening. But I'm subject to any one of those things because now I'm a child of God. The power, the fire of God is in my soul. Amen. And burnt, amen, that tongue of fire that's set up on the head and come on the inside, burnt the demon out. And burn out everything, come on the inside of me, and burn out everything that was contrary to God. And now I'm led by his spirit. He can say, go here, and I'll go. Go there, and speak here, and do this, and do that. And that's where you gotta come. Then you'll understand the word. You'll understand the proofs. You'll understand me. Because 1960, that fire burnt everything out of me. I received a baptism of the Holy Ghost April the 9th, 1960. I told my Pentecostal church, baptism. That's why they got so many divisions. So much of this and so much of that. That's why they talk so much. They just shut up and get the Holy Ghost. They don't know everything. They don't know nothing. Amen. The fire today wants to come in your soul and bring the demons out of it. The fire is the person of Jesus Christ. The same fire power is for the bride. Page 5. Jesus said, "Say to this mountain," and you heard about what's taking place. That's the ministry that we entered into. We way up the road now. Soon to come in the Lord Jesus, and we've got to have a rapture faith in a church that can be changed in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye. Glory. Praise God. To go out, or we'll not go, but don't worry. There's a promise. Don't worry. It'll be there. It'll be there. Now here's your promise. I'm resting on what Malachi 4 said. There it is. When the power of this church rises, it'll bring you ready. When Elohim comes in here, it'll raise you up. It'll bring you from trespassing and sin, filth and butchery, unbelief, confusion. It'll raise you up. The new birth, as Brother Brown said, faith way down in there, and the baptism is the same, it's part of it. That's what's wrong with this message. A lot of ministers need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they don't have it.
Amen.
It's totally impossible for a minister to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and don't understand the seven thunders.
Amen.
Because the thunders is the Holy Ghost. Watch his mind. And when the power of this church rises, it'll bring his brethren. The power of that church rises, not just New York, it'll bring his brethren. The power of that church will bring the other brethren. Now watch, the power comes first. Then, after the power brings you, then there'll be a general resurrection. You mean to tell me that the Spirit of the Lord will come into the people before the resurrection? Before the resurrection, God said. Dr. Jones didn't say that. Yeah, what did Dr. Jones say? The prophet said it. Page 10, you'll believe unto the eternal life, but when the Holy Spirit comes in, it is eternal life. You'll believe it. You'll be gotten of the Spirit's sanctification, but never born. The father's germ and the mother's egg, it's not born yet. It's in the mother growing. The rib cage and the eyes and the feet, it's got to come on. It ain't born yet. But when it comes out 9 months, then the Spirit takes it. It is born. For this age. So I don't care if you claim a Pentecostal blessing back there. The evidence that you have a Pentecostal blessing is ahead of seven thunders. The evidence is ahead of seven thunders. And sanctification is the blood. If seven colors is the blood. Then the blood stage. Glory, justified, aid, and sperm. Sanctified is the blood stage. The rib cage, the eyes, the feet, the nose. Seven colors is the blood. The hand, the feet, the rib cage, growing in the lover. Glory to God, the seven color baby is in you now. Just waiting for charity to born you of you. You're about to be born. You begotten. The seventh thunder is a begotten sign. You claim these signs in the light. The prophet said it here. That's mine. That's mine. So you say, Brother Coleman, the seventh thunder. No, I'm begotten. That's mine. That's mine. That's mine. Word on top of word on top of word. Prove that I'm begotten. One day, Eli, Elohim. Spirit sanctification, but never born to the Spirit until the Holy Ghost comes in. That's correct. A baby's got life in the womb of the mother. Little muscles are quivering. It's alive. And you people without the Holy Ghost fussing, you're quivering and jumping. Why don't you keep quiet until he tells you to speak? Pastor said this, that's wrong. What is wrong when you got a life but not the life? You don't have this life here. You're hidden in the womb somewhere. How can you speak anything? You don't have nothing to say. No, nothing. You need to be born again. And then do that. But without the Holy Ghost, all you can do is punch your fist into the stomach. To let somebody know you're there. You punch it. You're alive. You kick it. That's why you're shouting. Because you're kicking. You're punching. It's coming. You want to come out. It's almost time. It's almost here. You're fire. Amen. A baby's got life in the womb of the mother, little muscles are quivering. It's alive. See, it's a seventh on the word life, believe it. But it's a different life when it breathes the breath of life into its nostrils. It's different. Now, oh my, what is the 10 here? Page 11. God condescending. And we find the Holy Ghost is God Himself in you. God was above you in the pillar of fire with Moses, God with you in Jesus Christ. Now God is in you in the Holy Ghost. No three gods, God working in three offices. God condescending, God coming down above man. He couldn't touch him because he's sitting in the Garden of Eden and separated himself from his fellowship. Then when God come down and dwell in a sanctified body, virgin born of a woman, and that God Himself, you know what God did? He did nothing, but He placed His tent among ours. Tent is a tabernacle. And God needed a tent, a body. And Jesus Christ was a tent. So he placed his tent among ours. God dwelt in a tent called Jesus Christ. He just pitched his tent with us. Oh, my faces. God above you, God condescending. He pitched his tent among us.
Amen.
In the breach. Let's find out with the seventh seal message. Same thing, amen. Page 89. This is where I take my time. Grace pitched in our breach. Grace produced the person of Jesus Christ. And we find in the book, God stretched his tent. Came from God to become a man. Amen. He changed the stream from the Almighty to be a man, take on the form of man, so he could die to redeem man. Where do we see him when there's nobody worth it? God stretched his tent, Jesus Christ. Amen. My. I wonder, what is the tent? 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The Lord himself shall stretch his tent. He shall come down in his tent with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. What is it? God stretching his tent down to the earth in the last days. In the evening time it shall be light. Thank God to be in the open part. They gave me the open part for 7 years. He gave me 7 years of proving. Said, I'll meet you in there. And then he went in there with the angel of the Lord in the tent vision. And then he said, now watch what he said. He said, now what he told me in there, I will never be able to tell you. I'll take it to the grave in my bosom. In another place he said, the vision of prophecy, what he told me in there, he told me, now what, this is my words now. He told me what to say the third time. He told me exactly how to start speaking about a tent. So, Brother Graham, you lied. No, he told me what to say. Brother Graham, you deceived us. No, he told me what to say. I have to say what he said. Are you looking for canvas, or are you looking for the spirit? Oh my. So is it a literal tent? I tell you like I told you years ago, I don't know. I thank God to be in the marvelous altar. I tell you what I told you, that's gonna be fine. If you do what he tell you to do, you meet him in the literal part. Is it a literal tent or is it a symbol of a tent to be placed? I don't know. I know one thing. The Bible, Revelation 8:1 says, amen. Let's see what it says here. And when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. Now heaven is going to bind into a half an hour. Then when this angel comes down from heaven, he is bound to a half an hour. So he says, he swears, time shall be no more. But how long shall it be? He already told you in the word, a half an hour.
Amen.
Already spoken in here. Now, all the rest of the seals have got symbols. Horse or riders and things going on. But there's no symbol here. But I wonder, is the tenth vision a symbol? I wonder, was that the symbol? Because there's silence. Nothing written. But there's supposed to be a prophetic gift to come along and reveal this seventh seal.
Amen.
All the others had a vision. And John seen the vision. But this one, amen. The prophet had the vision.
Amen.
In 1955.
Amen.
What did he do? Amen. Oh, praise God. Page 564, your seal book. Amen. Page 564, what did he do here? He says here, Sabina Canyon, This is the third pole. There's three great things that go with it. One unfolded today, yesterday, the other unfolded today. And there's one thing I cannot interpret because it's an unknown language. As I stand right there and look straight right at it, and this is the third pole coming up. And the third pole is the opening of the word. And the word shall descend, stretch forth his hands. Amen. Minds are being blown out. Stand right and look right straight at it. This is the third pool coming up, and the Holy Spirit of God on my. That's the reason all heaven was silent. Now I better stop right here. Just feel check not to say no more about it, but just remember the seventh seal. The reason it was not open, the reason it did not reveal it, no one should know about it. But he just opened it.
Amen.
And put thunders in there. It doesn't say thunders.
Amen.
It says thunders over Revelation 10.
Amen.
But the prophet took the thunders from Revelation 10.
Amen.
And placed it on the Revelation 8 1.
Amen.
Revelation 8 1 is the seventh seal.
Amen.
The mighty angel with swift back wings.
Amen.
With the thunders.
Amen.
Because the prophet slid it in there.
Amen. Amen.
But no one should know about it. It's a secret. Amen. What is this mystery of this seventh seal? The thunders is the mystery. It holds the mystery. And the seventh seal is the coming of the Lord. But the thunders holds the mystery. It's a secret. If the devil can get a hold of it, he can do great damage. Suppose Brother Graham told you in 1965 on a rapture tape, now I'm getting ready to go. So if I want to take seventh seal, the reason it was not open, the reason it did not reveal it, no one should know about it. But I want you to know before I even knew any word about it, that vision come, here it goes now, that vision come years ago, you remember that? The vision of the tent. And here it is, just as his other has, slides straight into the word. The prophet slid it in there. The tent vision with the thunders. And gave us the open part. Gave us the seven thunders. We would give him the open part. We let him preach the seven thunders. But when he hits that middle part, don't worry, brother. Hey, man, we'll be there.
Through to these people.
Jesus. That's right. Give glory to God, Lewis. Hallelujah. Praise God. Fill them. Fill the ship. Fill these children, Lord. Come on, Harold. He's here on the thing of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of Elohim is here. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Come on, please. And help me. Amen. 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 Come to my tents.